This is the William Hill Golf Podcast. Go to news.williamhill.com for all the podcasts or search William Hill Radio on iTunes.
Hello everyone, welcome along. You're listening to William Hill's weekly golf podcast with Dave Kellner in the studio with Mike Grenham to look ahead to a cracking week on tour. The European Tour's flagship event, the BMW PGA Championship, begins at Wentworth on Thursday morning, and the Crowne Plaza Invitational at Colonial is this week's PGA Tour event. But as ever, we'll start by reflecting on what happened last week, and it was a galling week from a betting perspective, personally speaking, Mike.
Why was that, Dave?
Because I had the double, the each-way double, Joost Luiten and Gary Woodland, and both entered that final round with possibilities to win, and certainly you would have expected a place off... I expected both of them to place, in all honesty, and Luiten got the place, which was good.
Yes.
We both had bets on Luiten last week, but Woodland was particularly disappointing, I thought, at the HP Byron Nelson.
Yes, he didn't play very well at all in the final round, did he? So you're right, we had a lot of players going well at halfway, but at least Luiten got place for both of us in the Spanish Open, didn't he? But Keimer dropped off for me, and Woodland dropped off for your bit. That Woodland got a lot further, didn't he? A lot closer. I thought he would win that, I have to say, but Brendan Todd did the business.
He did indeed. Another maiden tour winner on the PGA Tour this year. He showed poise and assurance. He was fantastic in that final round, I thought, Mike. He never put a foot wrong, really.
No, he was excellent for his maiden win. Well played to him. So, another first-time winner. I'm going to make a prediction.
Go on.
Won't be a first-time winner at Byron Nelson. At Colonial.
Colonial. Yeah, it's a track where you need experience. I have got a guy that hasn't won on tour as one of my two picks.
So. That's a loser already.
We'll see. We'll come to that very, very shortly. Quick word on Miguel Angel Jimenez, the evergreen Miguel Angel Jimenez, dubbed the coolest man in golf.
Not so sure about that, but...
having won on his first start on the Champions Tour before the event, he beat the promising Thomas Peters and Richard Greene to the title after a playoff. He keeps on churning out results, doesn't he?
He's playing amazing, isn't he? And he was the oldest player to ever win on the European Tour, and he's won twice since then, hasn't he? So he just keeps breaking his own records.
Yeah.
Playing tremendous, really. And wouldn't be without a chance at Wentworth this week, you know. Mm-hmm. Not that I picked him, but he's I think he was fourth there last year. So, yeah, the mechanic. Tremendous player. Yeah, he's a character, isn't he?
Oh, he definitely is a character. Hopefully, for his sake, he won't have celebrated too much between winning in Spain his national open and coming to Wentworth this week.
There's no chance that he won't have celebrated.
Precisely.
By the way, Luiten's tip on the put on the last missed by an inch, you know, Dave.
We could easily
have been in the playoff. So, but an interesting final day there. Peters looked like a player to keep an eye on for the future. Mm. Richard Greene will be cursing his treble bogey, really. He'll be thinking that cost him a ton. But very, very, very tough course, that, and some really big scores. So, the rough around the greens was penal.
Yeah. Let's have a look at this week's two events then, crackers. The BMW PGA Championship, first of all, at Wentworth. This is the European Tour's flagship event. And barring Paul Casey, who's decided to stay in the US to make his impact on the PGA Tour and try and keep his card on that tour, and GMAC, Graham McDowell not here, this tournament has attracted a stellar field, Mike. And the bookies, William Hill, can't split the first three in the betting. Justin Rose, Lee Westwood and Rory McIlroy all in the market at 12-1. Luke Donald is 14-1. Sergio Garcia, 18-1. Henrik Stenson is 22s. Martin Keimer, 22s. Charles Schwartzel and Francesco Molinari, both 25s. And it's 33s bar. The event has been hosted by the West Course at Wentworth since 1984. Harry Colt, the original architect, back in 1920, but former Wentworth resident Ernie Els has modified the course in recent years. And there's a really nice piece on the European Tour with two-time winner Luke Donald, where he gives his thoughts on the venue and what is required to succeed at the, in inverted commas, the new West course. Donald has won twice since the changes were made. And looking back through recent results, Mike, it's easy to see this is a horses for courses kind of venue.
Yeah, definitely. I think both events this week, Dave, require quite a lot of course experience and players who play well. So course form's probably a premium in both events this week, and certainly in Wentworth from my perspective. I think you want guys who play well there, because for some reason it's a course where certain good players don't ever seem to thrive, and other players seem to, like Donald being a classic example, seem to play well year in, year out.
Yeah, do you think... We talked about experience being valuable. Do you think that's because of the wind as well? On a lot of holes, the wind can swirl, and because it's such a tree-lined golf course, it's difficult to pick it sometimes, isn't it?
Yeah, I don't know what the reason is, Dave. I know the wind is a big factor here, isn't it? And understanding that and knowing how to play with it, I'm sure that has a bearing. Since the changes in, when was it, 2008 or 2009?
Yeah.
You know, there does seem the course has changed in nature. The par fives aren't a gimme anymore by any means, and that's changed the nature of the players who play well there. It's obviously one of the best courses around, so it's a great event, and I think the changes have been, whilst they weren't immediately praised by the players, I think they've got used to them. They're made for a more interesting event.
Definitely. Luke Donald says the greens put better than they ever have done before. Even though, like you said, when the changes were first made, they weren't well received. They made some modifications on the back of that and took the information they gained from the players, injected them into the course and made the course...
They've improved it again.
Yeah, they have, precisely. I've got a couple of picks in this event.
I've got three, so I might as well go first, eh?
Yep.
My first pick in this is Paul Laurie at 80-1. Laurie, he does fit that bill. In the last 4 years here, he's got a sixth and a second to his name. The bad news, he's also got two missed cuts, so it's one way or the other here for Laurie. But I think he's in a good run of form at the moment. In his last three events on the European Tour, he finished 11th in Qatar, 54th in Dubai, and 15th last weekend in the very difficult Spanish Open, the Open de España. So very solid there. He's top five in greens and regulation on tour this year, which is a key stat here. If I was to go for a stat, it would be greens and regulation this week, Dave. I think that you can get away with a little bit with your tee shots off the... your accuracy off the tee doesn't have to be as important as your accuracy on your second shots. I think that's very important now at this course. And, for example, last year, Manacero and Carno were both in the playoff of first and fourth on that stat, and the top pages of the leaderboard were littered with players who had very good greens and regulation stats. So that's probably the one that jumps out to me. Laurie's ticking the box on that front, and I'm very hopeful he can give a good run for the money at 80-1.
Yeah, he was the last one I scratched. That's why
I thought there was a reaction.
Just murmured. Yeah.
I didn't know whether you'd. Just had a bit of indigestion.
Now I do like Paul Laurie a lot, and I think that course form, as you've already mentioned, is vitally important here. Yeah. And he finished second in the late 90s, I think, here as well.
He's
definitely got another runner-up finish at this venue.
Lots of experience here, and since the changes, two very good finishes. Well, one other finish of 32nd, so, and two very good finishes.
And if the pattern continues, sixth missed cut, second missed cut,
first.
There you go. Easy. That's how you pick them. My first pick, I'm going with Shane Lowry at 125-1.
He was on my list, Dave, I have to say.
Yeah, I like Shane Lowry as a player. I think he's a good player. He's done absolutely nothing this season, has he, really?
He wasn't so bad last week, though, was he?
But that's it. He seemed to turn a corner last week. I think last week's form could be a key indicator to how players play this week, because it was a difficult setup last week. And if you've gone well on that course, where you had to drive the ball well, I think you've got a chance here at Wentworth this week. He finished 15th last week at PGA Catalunya. That was encouraging. He drove it long and straight as well on a tough course, and putted better than he has done throughout the season as well. He's played here four times, finished 12th last year and fourth in 2011. So again, a guy that, since the modifications were made, he's adapted to the golf course. He's got a couple of wins on tour, having won that Irish Open as an amateur, and got his first win as a pro at the Portugal Masters a couple of years ago. If he puts well, which he hasn't for the majority of this season, I think he can go well at a big price, Shane Lowry. And The players from the British Isles and Ireland have played really well recently at this venue.
Yes.
It's what you'd expect, wouldn't it? Because obviously a lot of the top players are British players on the European Tour.
Yes.
But it has been an indicator here. So I'm going with Shane Lowry, 125-1.
It's that famous Englishman, Matteo Manassero, one last year. And given that, I'm going for one Englishman and one Continental in the rest of my picks. But Alvaro Quiros is my second pick, Dave. Not the most accurate off the team, Mr. Quiros, the Spaniard. But I just think he's in resurgent form this season. And his greens in regulation stats are good. He's top 20 in greens in regulation. So as long as he's not too wayward off the tee, belts at a country mile, as we all know, which doesn't harm here, but it's not a key factor. But if he can keep it reasonably accurate off the tee, his greens in reg stats are very good this season. So he was travelling pretty well in the Open de España's home event last week until a final round 80 somewhat scuppered things. So I'm hoping that hasn't damaged him too greatly, because he's form on the European Tour prior to that was a fifth in Johannesburg, a 13th, and then a third in China. 13th in Malaysia, I think it was, a third in China. And then he plummeted down the leaderboard on a very difficult final day there in Catalonia last week to 65th. But I'm hoping he'll bounce back from that, because we've seen some good signs over the last 12 months that Quiros is coming back to his best. He's a little bit of a desert fox. You wouldn't automatically say that this kind of course would suit him. He would be his number one choice. But in the last 5 years here, three top 20s, one top 10, one miscut. So four very decent finishes and a miscut. I think he's playing a lot better again now, and he's well overdue a win. At 80-1, I think he's a decent price.
Alvaro Quiros in the betting at 80-1. Speaking of 80s, I've got a player 80-1 who was shot on 80 last week as well. Bernd Wiesberger is my selection here. I think he's too big a price at 80-1. I think if you are looking away from the market leaders in this event, Mike, you're getting some big prices, aren't you?
And absolutely.
That is because the market leaders are so solid and play well around this golf course, isn't it?
Not all of them, but no. I know what you're saying.
Westwood, Donald and Rose do.
Yes, I wouldn't say McIlroy, although he has, I think, a fifth to his place here. This might not be absolutely his favourite course, might it? Garcia, it's hard to kind of measure because he hasn't played here very much lately, has he? But
yeah. He has got a couple of good finishes the years that he has played here, though, hasn't he, Garcia?
Yeah, no, he has some form here, hasn't he? But not masses of recent form, I don't think, has he?
80-1 on Bernd Wiesberger. I think he's one of the best players on the European Tour. And we've talked about getting to know this venue, Mike, and he's made three starts here. His form's getting progressively better. Finished 12th last year. And you need ball strikers around this golf course, and he's a pure ball striker. Bernd Wiesberger finished second in the Malaysian Open, admittedly a long way behind winner Lee Westwood last month. Backed that up with a 10th in Indonesia, 38th last week at PGA Catalunya, but opened with an 80 in that event, and did exceptionally well to make the cut. And to put his performance into context, he was three shots better than Miguel Angel Jimenez over the final three rounds in the event. I think the golf course sets up well for him. And 80-1 Bernd Wiesberger is my second and final selection, big price.
You say he started with an 80?
Yeah.
He did well to come back from that.
Yeah, he started with an 80 and went 80-68 and then a couple of rounds in the 70s over the weekend.
But it was a tough event, that, wasn't it?
It was a difficult event.
Guys who've played well there are clearly hitting the ball well.
You want to see more setups like that on the European Tour. Because you've got Le Golf National this week at Wentworth, where if the wind blows, scoring can be difficult. And last week's event, that's what I want to see more of.
Four
really.
Under, wasn't it? One was in the playoff.
Yes.
That's what I like about that, personally. More interesting, isn't it?
Definitely.
We want it every week, but, more often than we see it sometimes.
I think you probably attract better fields as well if you make it a little bit more difficult.
I don't know. Some of them like to birdie, don't they?
Do you think so?
I'm not sure. I don't know. Yeah, I know what you're saying, but I'm not sure. Some people they like to look good and birdie loads of holes, don't they? My third pick, I have to say, for a long time in studying this event, Martin Kaymer was on my mind at 22s, because I just think he's playing ever so well all of a sudden. But again, he's not an absolute Wentworth specialist, so I dropped him out and went for a guy who does play well at Wentworth, and I think I'm right in saying he might even be a member here. Ross Fisher is my final pick.
Yeah.
Fisher has played a lot better in recent months, and he'd been slightly in the doldrums over the past couple of years, but winning the Tshwane Open, which followed up another top 10 in South Africa, few solid events since then, and then a 15th in the Spanish Open last weekend, where he shot 76 in that famous final round. His form in recent years at Wentworth Reeds, a second, a 10th, that's when he was playing better than he had been. And then the 3 years after that, a 39th, missed cut 32nd. I think he's back, hopefully, to the form of the second and 10th now, then, you know, so I'm hoping that he can go very well at this course that he knows so well. He's top 25 on greens in regulation on tour, and yeah, maybe it's time to win a big one for Ross Fisher.
That surprises me. If someone had given me 50 picks and said who's Mike going for in this event, Ross Fisher would have not made the... I don't think he'd have made the top 100.
Oh, really? Why is that?
Well, we've talked about Ross Fisher... we're going back a while now.
Yeah.
I've picked Ross Fisher in events, and I'm sure you've laughed at me before when I picked Ross Fisher. I'm sure you have.
Oh, yeah, I'm a hypocrite, Dave. He's got a win to his name. Yeah. Though. I mean, that changes the mentality of a golfer, doesn't it, entirely? You get that off your back and you win, it changes things. So, and his game fits well for this kind of course. So I expect him to give a good account of himself. If Martin Keimer wins, I'll be frustrated, but because I dropped him out for Fisher at the very last kind of bidding.
Yes.
But there you go.
The guys on my list, it was quite a long short list for this event, I must admit.
Yeah, definitely.
Paul Laurie was top of that list. I think he's a really good pick.
Put him in,
80-1, I should have put him in. Justin Rose.
Yeah, he's
at the top of the betting. He's the man that I want to be on.
Yeah, I'd agree. I entirely agree with that. He's of the market leaders. He's the one that I fancy. Man, imagine Luke Donald has an amazing record here, doesn't he?
He does, but Justin Rose is a better player, in better form.
Oh, I'm not sure about. Is he a better player? I'm not sure about that.
He's Luke a major Donald's, winner.
Luke Donald's a world ex world number one, isn't he?
Yeah.
I think they're both very good players. There's not a lot in it. Those two are very strong. I mean, Westwood plays well here as well. You'd say that McIlroy should play well here, but just doesn't seem to. Maybe it's the wind. I'm never convinced that McIlroy weather's wind, you know.
I agree.
That's why
I agree wholeheartedly.
Might struggle to win an Open. Stenson, you know.
He doesn't have great form here.
He should play well here. Yeah. Greens in regulation, down the middle of it. But I think he did have a top 10 going back a few years, but doesn't play it a lot recently. And I think you do need more course experience. So Keimer was very close for me, I'll say that.
Justin Rose is a better player than Luke Donald.
Do you think so?
Yeah, I think so.
We'll see.
We will see. He's in slightly better form than Donald, isn't he? Ever so slightly better form.
Yeah, Donald,
just right now.
Donald's bounced back to form this year. I mean, Donald's form figures here, Dave, to be clear, in what is, as you described it, the showpiece on the European Tour, read second, first, missed cut. That's not a bad player.
No. Should be a cracking event, folks. Should be an absolute belter. Mark had said, by the way, he's kept it short
Richie
and sweet.
Richie Ramsey, isn't it?
Richie Ramsey. Mm. He's picking Richie Ramsey every week, isn't he, right now?
So, yeah, that's how odds compiler Mark had said. So he's got Richie Ramsey in at 66. So,
yes.
That's his pick. Mm. Yeah,
it is indeed. I didn't mention Gregory Bordy or Alejandro Canizares. Those are the two guys close as well.
Yeah, well, Bordy, I'll be not very pleased if he wins. He's 100-1 this week, isn't he? I might have to have a saver on him, Dave, because he was 12th here last year, and he is an archetypal Wentworth type player. I'm just not sure. He might have gone off the boil a little bit. He missed the cut. He's disappointed me in the last couple of outings. So, Thomas Aiken, I thought, was a massive price. My old friends Cabrero Bello and Curtsy could play better than their prices as well. I think they've drifted out to decent prices. 80 Cabrero Bello.
He completely bombed last week. He was going well at one point, wasn't he? And then completely bombed.
Yeah, Kurios did the same, to be fair. Curtsy's 100. So those guys, you know, are good players. And Aiken has got form here as well. So, as you rightly said, the short prices at the top of the market give some value lower down, which is why I've gone for bigger prices.
Yes, I agree. Let's get stuck into the Crowne Plaza Invitational then, which is another belting golf tournament, this time on the PGA Tour. And it's similar to the BMW PGA Championship. The tournament's played on a golf course where ball striking, Mike, is a prerequisite, isn't it?
BS, yep.
Precisely. Positional play is crucial around this tight technical golf course at Colonial Country Club. And it's Jordan Spieth who heads the betting at 12-1. Jim Furyk and Matt Kuchar are both 14s, along with Zach Johnson. Adam Scott is 16-1. Dustin Johnson and Graham DeLatte are both 25s. Jimmy Walker is 33-1, and it's 40s and bigger the remainder. Scoring will depend entirely on the wind, and the draw will probably be a factor as well. It's one of those events where the draw can be a huge factor. If the wind blows, scoring can be difficult. If conditions are benign, then the players can get after this, and if you're playing good golf, you can score around this golf course.
Yeah, absolutely, Dave. Yeah, it's all those things are true. Yeah, a fascinating event, Texan event.
And Zach Johnson has an incredible record around this event, around this venue as well. At this event, in the last 5 years, his worst finish is a ninth place in 2009, and he's won the event twice in that spell as well.
He's almost as good as Luke Donald.
He's almost as good as Luke Donald, precisely. One of my players has been. There's been a hatchet job in the betting, and I'm just weighing up whether or not.
Oh, you've got to.
I can stick.
You just stick with him for now. You can't drop him at this late stage, can you?
It's Jordan Spieth, my.
What price
pick.
Was he?
16-1
into 12,
and I've come in and he's 12-1.
I caught my eye that because I didn't think he was favourite. So
yeah, this is. I'm very keen on Spieth this week.
Well, we'll pick him then. Tell us why you're keen on him.
I'm very keen on him. I'll probably reduce the stake slightly. He's got 6 top tens already this season. We all know how good Jordan Spieth is. I love him round ball striking venues where you've got to work the ball. Mm. You look at his stats and you think, how is this guy producing the finishes he's produced this year? It's because he scores so well. Like when Tiger was in his pomp, Woods didn't hit all the fairways, didn't hit all the greens, scrambled brilliantly, scored brilliantly. That's what Jordan Spieth does. He's 12-1 this
indeed.
Week.
They're matching him up with Tiger, Jordan Spieth.
He's not in Tiger's league, obviously.
I don't think he is, but he's some talent, having said that.
He is. Seventh on debut last year, defying the stats all season long with top finishers at the Masters and the Players, can work the ball both ways. Struggled a little bit last week to live up to the hype, given that it was his home course event and everyone expected him to go well in the Byron Nelson. Finished 37th in the end. But on Sunday, played better from tee to green, gave himself a lot of birdie looks. I think he's I almost said the best player in the field, but there's some quality players in this field. I think he's the one with the most potential. I'll reduce the stake slightly. I'll go win only as well. 1.5 points win only on Jordan Spieth at 12-1.
Just had Steve Williams on the phone. He says he's the best player in the field.
His man might be.
With his partner Adam Scott.
What do you think to that pick, first of all?
I know I get that, dude. I get it. He's been great form, and I did think he would struggle a bit last week. I really did. In fact, I said it on the podcast, to be fair, not being hindsight merchant.
No, you did.
I get that. You've summed him up, really. It's hard to figure out exactly why he does so well as he does, because his stats don't seem to jump out at anything or tell him that. Say that certain courses suit him, but he just knows how to score, and that's it's the best skill of all, almost, isn't it?
I think he puts well from 10 to 30 feet.
Yes, he does.
So he makes a lot of birdies in that range, and that can help you scoring.
Massive for momentum, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. Precisely.
Yes, yeah, no, it's a fair point. That is probably something he did as well. I've only got the one pick. How many have you got?
I've got two, so I've got one more on the back of this.
So my sole pick at the moment is Ryan Palmer at 40s. Palmer is a Texan, another Texan. He has good form here at Byron Nelson. In the last 2 years, he's finished 5th and 14th. The couple of years previously, he had 2 top 35s to his name. 5th and 14th the last 2 years. He's in solid form this season. Was 7th in Texas at the Shale Houston Open not so long back, and 22nd in the Byron Nelson in the state last weekend. So clearly loves playing in the Lone Star State. Some good form to his name earlier this year. Was 2nd in the Humana and 8th in the Sony. And he just ticks the criteria for the type of guy I like around here. He's 10th for ball striking on tour, 23rd for greens in regulation. key stat for me here is proximity to the hole. That really helps here. 30th on that, and second for par 4 performance this season. So all those things make me think that Ryan Palmer's time is due. He's got 3 or 4 wins on tour, but it's time for another one. 42, and I think he'll definitely be in the mix this week. I just definitely think he'll be thereabouts.
Yeah, 40-1, Ryan Palmer in the betting. My second selection, you wouldn't say this guy fits for this venue because, as you mentioned right at the top of the podcast, Mike, it is a venue where experience is crucial.
I think so.
I'm going with Daniel Summerhayes, who is a maiden on tour. Maidens, have had it right off this
year.
Can
we have a free lunch bet on those two?
80-1. No, not on Ryan Palmer. You can pick someone else at that in that price bracket if you want.
I will do, all right?
Okay. Summerhayes has impressed me immensely this season. He's holding his form well. He finished second in Texas earlier this season in the Texas Open. Yep. Back in the state here, I'm hoping he can feature. Got a couple of top 25s in 2 of his last 3 starts. Ranks 20th in driving accuracy on tour this season. 47th in greens in regulation. They're good stats for this venue. Also, he's 34th in strokes gained putting on tour. So he's doing everything well, Daniel Summerhayes. I think his breakthrough is imminent, and he's had 3 looks at the venue now. So he's not as inexperienced as some other maidens.
You might need more than that, though, David. It is a definite horse. Yeah, it's a real horses for courses place, this, isn't it? That'd be my one worry, but yeah. I hear where you're coming from.
He did finish 35th here last year, which was his best finish at the venue as well, having missed the cut on his first 2 starts. He's a guy I want on side at the moment, Daniel Summerhayes, and I think sometimes you've got to look at the big picture. And 80-1, Daniel Summerhayes would be 0.5 each way. So reducing the stake slightly on Summerhayes.
Okay. Good to see that you're looking at the big picture, Dave. who do I put up against you for a match bet then? Yeah.
Any of those guys at 80 or bigger?
Oh, I've got to go Rory Sabatini.
Yeah, he's your man.
I've been picking him a lot lately, and you know, he has some good form here in past years.
And we're almost resurrecting...
I just captain him every week.
Well, Mark Adsett's doing it with Richie Ramsey at the moment.
Yeah, he is, yeah.
We're resurrecting the free lunch bet, which is nice as well.
Nice to see a free lunch bet.
It is nice.
Sabatini versus Summerhayes, the battle of the S's.
Tweet us in who you fancy in that match bet, listeners.
Yes, tweet.
At D. Kellner and at M. Grenham. Summerhayes or Sabatini.
Yeah.
For you this week.
I could have gone for Stroud, because he's 80-1 as well, and he's got a good course form here, hasn't he? So, yeah. He'd have been on my mind because those are 2 outsiders that I did look at. Actually,
hey, take me on with a dozen if you want.
No, Sabatini,
I'll do. A lot of free lunches.
Sabatini, I'll do. I can't afford to lose too many sandwiches. So
how come only one pick?
Because the John Hurt, I thought I would. I liked his chance this week, but I was a bit surprised to see him at 40-1.
Yep.
Given that he hasn't been on tour that long, and again the experience thing matters. He's got 2 very good finishes here, and he's in decent nick, but I was looking for a bit bigger than 40s on him. Zach Johnson, I think, has got a massive chance personally this week. He just absolutely loves it around here. Is he a 14-1 player? I'm not sure. I was half tempted to stick him in an each way double with Justin Rose, actually.
That could be a good play.
Both of them should be players, Dave, shouldn't they, if you think about it that way?
Yeah. I just wonder whether Zach Johnson's He has come into this tournament in worse form and still performed well and won.
Yeah.
That's the thing. I was a little bit disappointed with his challenge at the Players. I thought there were some very, very loose golf shots in that performance.
No, there was.
And that tempers my enthusiasm slightly. But, as I've just mentioned, he loves the venue.
He can turn it on. No, you're right to say that. He disappointed at Sawgrass a bit. So, finished top 25 or thereabouts, didn't he? Who else is on my mind? Well, Jim Furyk's playing up so well, but 14-1 short for Jim, isn't it? Given it's
very short.
He's not winning these days. He's playing brilliantly, but not actually winning.
He was the one at the head of the betting that I thought anyone who's had a look at the top of the market here and picks Jim Furyk is doing it wrong. That was my honest opinion.
That's something else for listeners to tweet in about. Do you fancy Furyk?
Can you imagine backing Furyk ahead of Scott Johnson or Spieth at the same price, pretty much the same price?
I hear what you're saying. It looks short to me, that it does. I love Jim Furyk, but I like backing him at 66. He's not 14.
Yeah.
he's crashed in the market this year, hasn't he? Everyone's writing him off last year, and now all of a sudden he's because he's been playing ever so well.
It's weird, isn't it? And I wanted to see some of those
fashionable now, isn't he?
Some of those big prices for the majors, and yeah, you know
they're
what? We're not going to get them, are we?
Not. No, unfortunately, last year's PGA. Oh,
yeah,
that was the
oh, that was a sickness, wasn't it?
That was a sickness. That was the day, I think, but. Yeah, you never know, he might drift out a little bit again. But, yeah, who was on my mind? Zach Johnson, who else? Ah, the usual suspects really around here.
David Toms.
Oh, yeah, there he is, look. David Toms, yeah.
Oh, yeah, there he is.
Yeah, he's just not putting well enough. That's his problem at the moment. He doesn't do anything.
Weird for him, isn't it?
He'll come good somewhere. He's this year's Furyk. Yeah, that's something to watch out for.
125-1, by the way, David Toms.
You just threw me off beam there. Who was I going to say? Oh, the ever-present Bill Haas could play well, couldn't he? The ball striker supreme.
Yep, 40-1.
BSS.
Bill Haas. And he has got good course form as well, hasn't he?
Yes. But again, maybe not playing quite well enough to justify 40-1. I was tempted by him, I have to say. But only one pick, Dave, how about that? That's
yeah. Maybe there'll be a Twitter bet.
There's every chance of being a Twitter bet. A huge chance of there being Chutzwet bet, because not only have I only had one bet in this, I'm still working my way through the senior PGA.
Yep, I did notice that was on this week.
Yeah, so...
why do they have majors back-to-back on the Champions Tour?
It's just what they do.
Yeah,
they do that, yeah. It's just, I don't know. I don't really know why, but they do. They come all at once, and then... Yeah, so... Kenny Perry won last week, so we'll have a little look this week and see if we can come up with something.
Bernhard Langer, 4-1 favourite for the senior PGA. Kenny Perry, 7s. Jay Haas, 12s. Colin Montgomery, 14-1. Jeff Maggott, 14-1. Tom Lehman, 16s, 25s. But I wonder if Monty can get...
Monty's got a chance, Dave. Monty's playing well this season, you know, so he would be. He wouldn't be far from the top of my list in that event. I have to be truthful and say I've concentrated on the other two events first. Yeah. I only had a fleeting look as yet, but I want to have a good look to the NC. Just work out Harbour Shores as a venue. I know that it was there a couple of years ago, so there is some course form. I'm not saying I'll plunge on that event, but I'm certainly going to give it a look.
At D Kellner and at M Grenham, if you want to follow us on Twitter, there might be some Twitter bets this week. And do follow Golf Twitter Tipster as well, at Golf Twit Tipster.
I think I was third in the standings last month, Dave.
Yes, I noticed that tweet.
I only mention it, not through arrogance.
I saw your little winky face today as well.
It just because people were having a little go at you about it, weren't they?
They were indeed. They were indeed.
Which I enjoyed.
By the way, Mark had said going with Jim Furyk this week.
Oh, yes, he is.
He is. So I take that all back, Mark, what I've just said.
he's doing it wrong, his answer.
Do make sure you follow us on Twitter. Let's recap the picks then for this week, starting off with your three in the BMW PGA Championship, the European Tour's flagship event. Looking forward to it.
Yeah, absolutely great event. 1 point each way on everyone for me. Quiros at 80s, Paul Laurie at 80s, Ross Fisher as opposed to Carrie Fisher at 40s, and Colonial Ryan Palmer at 40s.
A point each way on him as well.
Yes, everyone.
I'm going a point each way Shane Lowry at 125. A point each way Bernd Wiesberger at 80-1 in the BMW PGA Championship and in the Crown Plaza Invitational. A couple of picks here. 1.5 points win only Jordan Spieth at 12-1, and half a point each way Daniel Summerhayes at 80-1.
Lunch bet Summerhayes versus Sabatini. I like that Wiesberger bet, Dave. I think he's a good. It's a
big price for a good, for a really quality player.
That caught my eye a bit. That yeah.
Thank you for listening to the Golf Podcast, folks, and we'll be back with more golfing action next week. It's been a pleasure, and we'll speak soon.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.